You're listening to an exclusive podcast series brought to you by Wired for Wonder, a proud innovation by CommBank and the Moment HQ. Prepare yourself as we take you on an eye-opening journey to ignite your curiosity, foster wonderment, and send inspiration bustling through your veins. Welcome to the Wired for Wonder and the Moment HQ's podcast. I'm your host, Monica Cade. Joining us today is Professor Gina Rippon, who is an international expert on brain imaging techniques and a professor of cognitive neuroimaging at the Aston Brain Centre, Aston University in Birmingham, UK. She has a PhD in psychophysiology from the University of London and served as a president of the British Association of Cognitive Neuroscience. With a background in psychology and physiology, Gina uses state-of-the-art brain imaging techniques to investigate the links between individual differences in brain activity and behaviour. So let's welcome her and find out more. Hi, Gina. Thanks for joining me today.
Hello, Monica.
Now tell me, what was your childhood like?
Probably fairly standard. I have a twin brother, and so I had an interesting childhood in having a brother the same age as me, and my parents were quite careful to treat us the same. Mm-hmm. But growing up in the 1950s and 60s, it was still a sort of fairly standard approach that girls played with some kind of toys, boys played with others. Luckily, because he was the same age as me, I got to play with his toys. Mm-hmm. I don't remember him playing with mine very much, but we both went away to school when we were 11. So after that, we grew up fairly separately. I was sent to an all-girls convent, Catholic convent boarding school. And if you want to unpack the educational implications of that, it might make you wonder. And after that, had a year out and then went off to university and have sort of chugged along fairly standard academic lines since then.
Mm-hmm. And what did you want to be as a kid growing up?
I wanted to do something to do with brains. Something early on triggered an interest in what people had inside their heads that made them work. I wasn't quite sure I knew that it was a brain, but mm-hmm. I knew it was something that made me interested. So as time went on, I thought, well, I'll be a doctor because they deal with brains. And I realised that you had to be a different sort of doctor. So I either wanted to be a brain surgeon or a psychiatrist. By the age, I knew what a brain surgeon or a psychiatrist was. So it's always been brains.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really cool to hear. And what about your family? Were they really supportive of your choice and career path?
Absolutely. I think I was one of the first people in my family to go to university, and certainly one of the first people from the school that I was at to go to university. The school that I was at was by no means at that stage an academic institution, but luckily I arrived at just about the time they were thinking that maybe education was as important for girls as it was for boys, although they were somewhat behind the curve on things like the sciences. But yes, my family were always very supportive, you know, celebrated my achievements and consoled me over my failures.
And how did you find the journey? So like when you started, because, you know, sometimes we want to attempt a certain career path in our lives, and then maybe when we go onto it, we're like, oh, I'm not sure about this, and other people, they really enjoy it. What was your experience?
I was really lucky, actually, because I always, right from a very early age, enjoyed learning. I enjoyed asking questions and finding out the answers. So I was lucky enough to get an appointment in a newly opened Department of Psychology at the University of Warwick. And that kind of threw me in at the deep end in terms of teaching, because I arrived the day before the first intake of students doing a psychology degree. And so I had to learn very quickly how to communicate my interests. And that was a challenge for me. I'd always done my own research and written my research papers, but never had to communicate with other people. So I'm sure early on they found that very challenging. But hopefully as time went on, I found it really interesting finding ways of getting people to understand what I was talking about. And that's been really helpful in my own research. So I think I've been lucky in that I've been able to follow my interest, probably without a very clear strategic direction. I think our today's PhD students and researchers are much more strategic from very early on, because they have to be. I think I was lucky and arrived in the research community at a time where you could be lucky enough to follow your own interests.
Mm-hmm. Why is it now that you have to be a bit more strategic?
I think the whole higher education science research network is much more demanding. There's less money in it, so I think people have to really focus their ideas. They're allowed to be less blue sky thinking, if you like, which I think is a shame. So they really need to find an interest early on, find their particular skill, and really focus on that. So there's not much chance to go off down little blind alleys about things you think might be interesting and turn out not to be. You've got to be very focused, mm-hmm. which can be a good thing, but can be a bad thing.
Mm. Now, a lot of your research explores the idea of a male and a female brain. Now, what made you want to go down that path of exploration?
Actually, oddly, when people say that, I think actually my research doesn't explore the idea of a male and female brain, because very early on when I was starting to use brain imaging, I was tied into the idea that, you know, there's a difference between male and female brains, there's a difference between the skills that males and females have. And as a psychologist and as a cognitive neuroscientist, I thought, I'll put these two together. I'll look at how, you know, use a task that males and females are different at and look at how their brains work differently. And I struggled with that for quite a long time until I suddenly thought, maybe I'm asking the wrong question. Maybe male and female brains aren't different, and that's why I can't find any differences. And so I started looking at brains in a slightly different way, looking at individual differences, individual skills, nothing to do with whether somebody was male or female. Mm. So in fact, fairly early on, I gave up the idea that there was a male or a female brain, and I was much more interested in individual differences, how people got to solve problems in their own particular way and how that might be reflected in how their brains worked. And I was doing this in a kind of self-centered sort of way. So I was quite surprised when I started looking at the early on in about, 2010, really, somebody asked me to do a review on brain imaging work on male and female brains. And I was horrified to find out how many misconceptions there were and misunderstandings about the brain, not only in my own area of research, but also this work had spawned, if you like, a whole industry of sort of self-help books, of which the, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus is the kind of granddaddy of them all.
It's interesting because I was reading a few articles for myself, had to think about what's my perspective on this. And I don't know if I've ever actually thought that there was a male and female brain. Like, of course, I've heard that term, you know, with men are from Mars and women are from Venus. And I understand that, you know, men seem to be a certain way and women are another way at times. However, I don't know that I ever thought that there was a real big difference. And you also point that out. It has to do with stereotypes and how we're brought up as young children.
I think that's actually right. But one of the things that I'm trying to do is point out that there's always been this, it's sort of given, it goes way back to the 18th century when we first started looking at brains and what, you know, how we could study the brain, how we could understand what the brain could do. And at that stage, scientists were really, sometimes they were about being discoverers, but sometimes they were also about explaining the status quo. And way back in the 18th century, and obviously earlier, the status quo that was that women were inferior to men. They didn't do the same things as men. They couldn't do the same things as men. Mm. And so scientists started taking that as a given and saying, well, men and women are different, so it must be because their brains are different. And really, that assumption has informed our research right up to the current day. And what I'm trying to say is, actually, we ought to challenge that question. You know, the question is, what makes men and women different? And people go off and do research and look at brains and measure different types of behavior, and that feeds into education, etc. But maybe we ought to stop and say, are men and women actually that different when we're looking at things like behavior and abilities?
Do you think that if a person is exposed as a young child to a, let's just say a woman is exposed more to, you know, hands-on and practical activities, and then maybe also encouraged to just have a neutral outlook on toys, not being boys and girls. Do you think that then that impacts the way that she goes through the world, and she's more, as probably the male counterparts would say, a bit more manly in her thinking?
Of course, the trouble is using things like manly is already suggesting that there is such a thing as manly, and there's a stereotype out there. Like calling, you know, if you call somebody a tomboy, you think, actually, if you stop and think about it, that's actually a stereotype in itself. But apart from that, yes, in answer to your question, yes, I think toys and any kind of experience are really important. And obviously, very early on, more important, most important of all. And one of the things that worries me in the 21st century is that we seem to be becoming much more fixated on the differences between men and women, right from, you know, the moment, well, before now we know what the sex of a child could, we can know what the sex of a child is, but, you know, you get this huge tsunami of it's a boy blue, it's a boy cards, or pink, it's a girl cards. So very early on, there's an idea that these individuals are different, must be treated differently, exposed to different experiences. And because we know how plastic or flexible or moldable the brain is, that's something that we need to be very careful about. And I think toys is a really interesting example. And it's clear that if you look at toys now, they're divided into construction toys for boys, and girls tend to have princess, pink princessy type imaginary, you know, fantasy castles, etc. And I know I'm stereotyping that in a particular way, but I think that's important. And we can see that in that, you know, if individuals have problems with spatial cognition, you can actually change that by exposing them to different sorts of spatial training, which can be fun, like, you know, playing Tetris, video games, etc. I think it is important. Being neutral, you know, good luck with that. I mean, parents say, oh, you know, I treat my children exactly the same, but they don't. I mean, we can see that people respond differently to the boy babies or girl babies. And, you know, even if it's a girl baby dressed up as a boy baby. So however hard we think we're trying to be even-handed, we're not. And the world doesn't help. Say you're surrounded by different sorts of toys, you go to schools and the teachers have different expectations. And I think that's something that has become much more evident in the 21st century.
Do you think that it could be something that could eventually dissipate, or is, you know, having stereotypes a way that we just simply categorize the world and that's pretty much just the way it's got to be?
I think it can change. I mean, one of the advantages of sort of worldwide communication is that we can look at different cultures, for example, and realize that different cultures have different ways of responding to people who are male and people who are female. Within different countries, there are different expectations. So, for example, in Iran, maths is very much seen as a girl's activity, which is very different from certainly the UK and probably the US and maybe Australia. I'll need to find out before I get there what expectations are over there. So I think really being aware of challenging the assumptions, I think, is the key thing. So I think if we do that and we look at countries like Scandinavia, which are making much more of an effort across the board, and I think it needs to be across the board. So even things about who cares for the children in families, what kind of toys children have, the kind of marketing materials that people are exposed to, we can make a difference. And knowing that, I think, is the key to solving the problem.
And is it also coming down to exposing men and women as children to different activities? So not just, you know, girls doing cooking or boys, you know, playing out in the mud or, you know, that kind of a thing?
I think that's exactly right. And I think we're moving in the right direction with respect to that. But sometimes if you only move in that direction in one area, like encouraging children to play different games, but then, you know, you look at the media and, you know, the equivalent of the red tops in the newspapers are always stressing women's physical appearance or
men's leadership skills or whatever. I mean, I think the way the Trump-Clinton debate is playing out at the moment is a rather sad reflection on how far we've got to go with respect to treating men and women equally. But at least if we're aware there's a problem, I guess that helps.
Yeah, it does seem like there is more awareness happening around the world. And even the fact that, you know, a woman could be president, that's, I feel like, a step forward as well.
It feels like a step forward. It's a shame, as I say, the way it's playing out. But, I mean, you know, we've got a female prime minister in this country. You know, quite a lot of the political parties have female leaders. And role models are really, really important and can even, you know, has been demonstrated to help individuals in minorities achieve more, have greater self-respect when they're surrounded by people like them who have achieved. So I think that's another message that we can take, that role models are important. And they do make a difference, even at the brain level. I shouldn't say even at the brain level, perhaps especially at the brain level.
What happens at the brain level?
Well, for example, there's some really interesting work done on overcoming stereotype threat. You know, the idea that if you're a member of a minority group who's been identified as struggling with a particular problem, mm-hmm. and your membership of that group is drawn to your attention. So, you know, the classic, here's a kind of map reading problem that you girls will have problems with, but see what you can do. Mm-hmm. Surprise, surprise, cohorts of girls will have greater difficulty than they should have with solving those kind of problems. But if you encourage them to think of times at which they were successful, or encourage them to think positively about their own abilities, very often you can alleviate the consequences of stereotype threat by these kind of empowerment techniques. And that can actually be demonstrated at the brain level. So, you know, if people start to believe, you know, one of the things of doing research into the brain is it is the fundamental part of people's being, if you like. And people are quite rightly awe-inspired by what the brain can do, and how we can show how the brain can carry out various tasks. So if we can demonstrate the importance of those kind of processes at the brain level, people are more likely to buy into them.
That's so exciting and so fascinating, and they're such simple things that anyone can take on board and do for themselves in any given moment, you know, just by paying attention to what they're thinking and being more positive, and how that can automatically change the brain.
That's right. And it can, you can change the environment for people. I mean, a lot of people think that having pictures of women scientists, you know, it's a bit kind of eye-rolling political correctness, etc. But it's been shown that having that for example, for females who are giving speeches, you know, a public speaking activity, which they find quite challenging, if there's a pictures of a female successful females on the walls around them, they do much better. So it does feel like political correctness tinkering, but it does appear to have a difference. So let's go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds awesome.
And I would also say that a lot of what I'm talking about is girls underperforming, but it's the same for boys. I mean, we have a big problem in the UK about underperformance of boys in schools, for example. So actually using the same techniques to find out where we can empower boys and help them to achieve more is equally important.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's some really great content there for, I guess, some parents out there as well to take on board, and anyone really. Before we finish up, I've got a couple of signature questions to ask you. Can you tell me what career would you like to attempt if you weren't in this one?
I think I'd go back to my roots and think I might like to be a medical doctor who became a brain surgeon. So I don't get away from brains, but I attack them in a different way.
Awesome. And tell me, what are you afraid of?
What am I afraid of? Turning right on my bicycle.
That's awesome. And tell me, what's a piece of wisdom that you've been passed down that's really stuck?
I think never give up, probably. It's kind of feels like a platitude, but I think that's important. Find a way of solving a problem. Don't give up at the first fall.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time today, Gina. It was great talking to you.
Okay, thanks very much.
Bye-bye.